Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is made possible by our supporters over on Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get your own RSS feed with ad-free shows and extra episodes every month, then head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. Programs, and we're back for another episode of the Nerd Cave Retro Show. My name is Jason Robbins, and joining me tonight is...
Oh, me, Wally Phelps.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were going to make me introduce myself.
Yeah, well, you're a known quantity around here, so you're a man that needs no introduction. Wally's going to be joining me tonight. Derek, he's going to be taking a couple of weeks off the show because of some... He needs to get some stuff done with his movie and all that kind of stuff, and plus a little bit of burnout. So I gave him a couple of weeks off, and we're going to be joined by some guest hosts over the next couple of weeks. So tonight is Mr. Wally Phelps. He can fact check me in real time as we go tonight.
Right. I will tell you how wrong you are.
Awesome.
To your face.
To my face. So, how have you been doing?
Pretty decent. This weekend's been pretty good. I got a whole bunch of stuff done this weekend. Not a whole lot going on. We have our show has been doing pretty well. I can't remember the name of my show.
Ready to Believe.
Yeah. It's been doing pretty good, and man, I asked for people who had experiences, paranormal experiences on my Facebook page, and woo, there was a lot of people who were having some spooky things happening to them, and I am excited to talk to all of them.
Yeah, I don't think you'll be running out of guests anytime soon for that show.
No, we're going to have plenty of guests. In fact, there are so many people who were having experiences at one specific place, that I'm thinking of making a special out of it.
Really? Is it a place that we both know about?
Yeah. I don't know if I want to say it because it is private property, and I'm trying to figure out how to navigate that part of it.
Ah, okay.
But I think you know where I'm talking about, though.
Is it a place of local urban legend?
It is.
I know what
I wrote a horror movie about it once.
I know where you're talking about. That'll be quite interesting.
Yeah. So that's going to be a very interesting episode once I get it all taken care of. But yeah, our local folklore just kind of became real. That's pretty cool. But otherwise, I've been not doing a whole lot, playing some. This is the last week of the Fortnite season. They had the Ninja Turtles. Just finished those missions, and I got the shredder for doing them.
Awesome.
I just finished unlocking all of the Metal Gear Solid goodies. It's weird. I'm talking about all this, and it's all in Fortnite. So it's it's pretty interesting that the Ninja Turtles can team up with Solid Snake. It's going to be wonderful.
That's something I never thought I would ever hear said in a sentence.
Yeah, I know. It just keeps getting more and more bonkers. As far as other video games are concerned, I'm not really doing a whole lot as far as that's concerned. I tried Guardians of the Galaxy, and I enjoyed it for what I played of it. But I'm like, I don't want 10 hours of this, so I'm all right. It's weird.
Oh, go ahead. So I'm sorry.
No, I was like, it's weird. I'll play an hour of a game and I'll be like, I don't want 10 more of that.
Yeah, other than the game I'm going to be reviewing tonight, I haven't played anything other than Mass Effect 3. Because I played 1, 2, and 3 all back-to-back, and 3 is a long game. Quite beefy, so it's taken me quite a while to get through it.
Like an open world thing?
Almost, cool. Yeah. Like, it feels bigger than the second game for some reason. It didn't feel that big at the time, but now playing it through for the second time since it came out, it feels almost like I'm playing it for the first time. Like, I don't remember a lot of the stuff that goes on in the game.
I mean, we are very old, so yeah, that makes sense. True.
And I mean, we're talking like, what, 14 years ago this game came out? So
perhaps
that was a lifetime ago.
Yes, it was. I mean, I've been seeing all these anniversary editions of things we grew up with, yeah. And it's like, oh my God. The 30th anniversary of Dookie. It's like, oh my God, what? No.
Oh, the chat room is jumping tonight. Everybody's excited for the Tick. And Rampage says he wants a Barbie skin and nothing else. So I guess he's waiting for a Barbie skin in Fortnite.
It's never enough.
No, just stop. Don't do that.
Look, I want that Ken. skin, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, Mushmouth says he's been working his way through the Arkham series, finished up City for the first time last week, and started up Night today. Batmobile fun. I think I don't think I liked Arkham. Was Arkham Knight was the one where you had to use the Batmobile like all the time?
Yeah, it made you do it.
I didn't like that.
Yeah, Rampage just brought this up before I did. Most people didn't like the Batmobile.
I didn't either. You would think it would be the opposite. I mean, most, like myself, I would love to drive the Batmobile. But then you play it in the game and it's like, I don't want to do this anymore.
That's exactly what happens to me on every video game I ever play.
No more 10 hours of this. I don't need 10 more.
I don't want 10 hours more of this.
Yeah, we got a little bit of news tonight. And then actually the first story, let me go and jump into the news and let everybody, I'll let everybody know what happened. So as usual, if you have a story you'd like us to cover, send them to nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. And I put this one story in here a couple of days ago, but then about an hour ago, we got an update on it. So I'll do the one that I put in here the other day. Let's see. Hold on. This was from GamesRadar.com. After turning the Switch into a massive emulator, Nintendo files lawsuit implying emulators are unlawful and only good for piracy. Nintendo has filed a lawsuit alleging that emulators are explicitly used to unlawfully play pirated games away from their intended consoles, in a claim that seemed to conveniently forego the Nintendo Switch's popularity as an emulator. Earlier this week, they filed a lawsuit against Switch emulator Yuzu, alleging that the software had helped enable the illegal downloading of 1 million copies of The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom prior to the game's release last summer. The company claims that a spike in Yuzu's Patreon donations after a leak of the game the week before launch was the result of people signing up to the emulator so that they could play Tears of the Kingdom for free. That's podcasting 101. Need to turn that ringer off there. So I'm professional podcast here. But here we have an update, which just happened a few minutes ago. This is from NintendoLife.com. Switch emulator Yuzu to pay $2.4 million to Nintendo and cease development. Tropic Haze, the creators of the Switch emulator Yuzu, have agreed to pay Nintendo $2.4 million in damages, as well as shut down the emulator for the hybrid console, along with the 3DS emulator Citra. This news comes just 1 week after Nintendo filed a lawsuit against the creators, and about a day after Tropic Haze hired its own lawyer. In this sudden development, a joint motion was filed earlier today between Nintendo and Tropic Haze. The creator of Yuzu and Citra appears to have accepted Nintendo's demands without any pushback and have agreed to be barred from working on Yuzu, hosting Yuzu, distributing the code, and even handing Nintendo the rights to yuzu-emu.org. So, I hate how Nintendo treats emulator. I mean, I understand this was, you know, people shouldn't be pirating newer games. But when it comes to older games, there's no really other way to play them unless you have the original hardware.
Yeah, and it's getting harder and harder to get the original hardware or the original software for that matter. Here's the thing. And I agree with Mushmouth in the chat room. That's why I'm not buying Nintendo stuff anymore. Because I'll love something and then 20 years down the line, I won't be able to play it anymore.
Yeah.
And they do nothing to stop that from happening. They actively try to get us to not do that anymore.
Yeah.
And it's another thing that I wanted to bring up, though, is why do people keep doing this anyway? Like, why are these companies, these small companies that are trying to do these emulators and ROMs and stuff of that nature, why do they keep doing that? And very publicly, because they know Nintendo's going to come after them and get them. Do they just not want millions of dollars to give that they have to give to Nintendo?
The conspiracy theorist in me would say maybe these companies are doing this very loudly to get Nintendo's attention to say, hey, people want to play older games and you need to give us a way to do this instead of giving us, you know, a couple of games every 3 to 6 months on Nintendo Online. We need to have some sort of online library or a way to just buy the games from Nintendo. Like, why can't I go on my Switch and look up, you know, a game from the NES era and just pay them a couple of bucks for it? I would do that if they would let me.
I would 100% be more likely to continue using Nintendo products. The biggest reason why I got rid of my Switch is because I didn't use it a whole lot, because there's not a whole lot of games that I wanted to play on it. And the ones that I did want to play were all their old games.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can play these in other places cheaper. And if they were to sell them to me, I would keep the thing, you know, just let me buy the games, for goodness sake.
Well, something to be said for, like, the way piracy has jumped up in the last couple of years, especially for even things like other forms of entertainment, too, movies, TV shows, when for a long time, you know, through the teens, piracy was on a downslope because it was easy to get stuff. It was easy to watch things, and it was affordable to watch things. If you didn't have Netflix, you could get Netflix for a month for, you know, $5.99 to watch what you wanted to watch and then get rid of it.
Yeah.
And now everything's so freaking expensive, you can't find what you're looking for anymore. Stuff gets yanked off of streaming services all the time. You know, and HBO, like, what are they doing over there? Warner Brothers just making movies and not even releasing them. And then they're taking beloved cartoons and stuff and movies and things and just yanking them from the public, and you can't watch them anywhere. What do you think's going to happen other than piracy?
Right. This is a bad time for people who enjoy physical media, who enjoy being able to collect the games that you want, the movies that you want. For basically artists, because I'm sure there are people out there who have helped develop games or helped design games that can't play them anymore because they're just not available. And with your point about Warner Brothers, you know, that deleting the Wile E. Coyote movie. It's like that. It's almost to the point where they're deleting history at this point.
Yeah, and Joey, it's a shame. In the chat room, brings up a good idea. Let Nintendo make their own PC handheld emulator and release the full ROM set for a price. And I realize that's kind of that's a really good idea. And the problem is when you got games that are licensed which don't have these licenses anymore. Like, that gets into weird legal territory. So that's why, you know, we need to have some sort of legislation or something for software over a certain time period. It, like, that stuff doesn't matter anymore. Like, you should be able to play, like, Aliens or something, or say Alien 3 for the NES. That's probably a legal nightmare with those kind of rights and, you know, intellectual property rights and all that kind of stuff. But at a certain point, like, it's not like you can walk into Walmart and buy a copy of Alien 3 for the NES. No. Like, why would these companies even worry about it? And I know they don't want Nintendo to make the money, but why not just have it be an access? Like, Nintendo, you know, like, they put out another NES Mini, and it's able to be hooked up to the internet. Like, you pay, you know, $75 for this little NES Mini, and then you pay, you know, like, $5 a month to have access to the online, you know, library of NES games.
Well, just to have access to it. Again, making it all digital is still a mistake to me. You know, it feels like we need to have them a way to have them. Just have them. And I think it would be a good idea. And I know they're never going to do this because the companies are going to fight this.
Yeah.
But I think it would be a good idea to have like a time frame where if you do not release something within a certain amount of time, so people have access to it, then it becomes part of public domain.
Yeah, exactly.
Or, for example, if you do something that, for example, what they're doing right now with the Coyote movie, that should put it in public domain. You know, if you're not going to release the thing to the point where you're going to delete it, you need to man up and say, I can't make money off of this, but here you can, because I am too stupid to learn how to make money off of this thing I made.
Hey, yeah, I don't know. And, you know, it's different when it comes to video games or movies or TV shows. Like, I can still go and purchase a physical copy of a movie from Walmart.
For now, from
Walmart, or even purchase a digital copy for rent off of Amazon or something like Amazon or, you know, Apple or wherever. I can still purchase that stuff. When it comes to these old games, especially, you know, the NES era, Super Nintendo era, you can't buy them anywhere unless they're offered on, you know, Nintendo Switch Online, or if they're offered, you know, in the store or whatever, or you get like the Capcom bundle where you can get Final Fight, you know, stuff like that.
So yeah, there are these companies that are making their libraries more accessible for people.
Yeah.
And it's fabulous. We are paying, you know, in some cases, multiple times for the same content, so we can carry it with us to whatever we're playing on. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, we want you to, we want someone to do what Nintendo don't.
Yeah. Maybe with Sega's new CEO coming in, maybe he'll think of things like this.
Right. Just have the entire library of Sega games being available at some point.
Yeah. So
that would be beautiful.
Moving on to the next story, and you can take the next one.
What was the next one? The Meat Morph Cat?
Yeah, Meat Morph Cat.
So Meat Morph Cat Games, the new gen NES devs pushing the 8-bit envelope. No one has come close to exhausting its full capability. So for I don't want to read it word for word, but essentially it seems like there is a new NES developer.
Mm-hmm.
So the homebrew scene for NES has flourished over the last two decades, especially with tools like NES Maker in 2018, which makes developing for the console far more approachable. And the Micromages, an homage to NES era platformers. The 2019 game was the subject of a viral YouTube making a video that showcased clever optimization techniques employed by developers, you know, those people, who test themselves with limiting their game to just 40 kilobytes. But here's the thing. Long story short, it feels like we are in a new era of NES games. Because there is, like, if you go through this whole thing, because this is a very long article that basically just says, hey, they're making more games for NES. But there is a lot that is going down right now in the NES homebrew era. Mm-hmm. And I am truly excited about this. I love the idea of brand new NES games being developed and sold on the market that are essentially making a name for these developers here. And whenever you look at the videos of the games that they're talking about, it shows just what the NES was capable of that we kind of didn't see. Mm-hmm. You can tell it's an NES game just looking at it, but the detail and the amount of things going on at once on screen is ridiculous.
And let me tell you, I don't know how you would feel about this, but do you think if Nintendo was just like, hey, we're gonna do a run of, you know, 1 million reproductions of the original NES, it would sell out instantly?
Oh, 100%. I would buy a brand new NES that would hook up to a TV, a modern television
with HDMI hookups, Bluetooth controllers. I would be there day one, and it would play old cartridges like this. That's a no-brainer, and that is easy money for Nintendo right there.
I mean, as you know, popular as the Atari is, the new one that they, because that actually seems to be quite a success at this time, because they're still releasing games for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Nintendo is leaving money on the table. They're not going to do it because it's something we want.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it really is something that I would really love to see. That and the SNES would be wonderful if they would just re-release the things.
I keep thinking one of these days, the powers that be at Nintendo are going to wake the hell up and realize that they're in 2024 and not, you know, whatever year they're living in, and look at the world around them, look at the things that we want and we're willing to pay for, and actually give us those things.
You know, do you think it might have something to do with the fact that in Japan, retro gaming's not as big a thing?
Well, nostalgia's not a thing in Japan. Like, they don't get nostalgic for stuff.
Well, I mean, they kind of do, but at the same time, it's like, if you want a Famicom, you can walk into any, like, secondhand store and pick up a Famicom for, like, $40.
Yeah.
You know, it's not hard to do, and I don't think that it's very difficult to find games either, really, and, like, with the box and everything, and the reason why is because Japanese people took care of their things, so we are at a disadvantage because, like, our parents threw our stuff away. They didn't keep them in pristine condition so they can put it away for a rainy day. Yeah, no, they just straight put it in the trash.
Because we had boomer parents, and boomer parents throw stuff away when you leave your parents' home, because that's what their parents did to them. That, like, you know, my dad had all kinds of cool stuff from when he was a kid. And he had the very first appearance of Spider-Man Like he had that comic. He had a bunch of like New York Yankees baseball cards from the 50s, all kind of comic books and stuff. You know what happened to that stuff? It got thrown out the minute he left home. And that's what our boomer parents did to us. Like the minute we left home, it's like, oh, we went ahead and gave all your stuff to Goodwill. Like what? I lost all of my Star Wars toys or most of my Star Wars toys from when I was a kid because my mom gave them to Goodwill.
That's an outrage.
It's an outrage. and
meanwhile, everybody in Japan who wants to play, you know, whatever game can get a scratch and dented Famicom for $1.99.
Yeah, no kidding.
And the junk file. Because they call anything with like a little bit of wear junk. It's wild.
And Joey in the chat room says, maybe Nintendo wants all emulation and ROMs gone because they're secretly working on something for the past couple of years. I would love to believe that, but when it comes to Nintendo,
this has been 20 years in the making. I mean, it's not, if they were working on something, it should have come out by now.
Exactly. Let's see. This next story comes from, this is from timeextension.com. Arcade Archives Nintendo eShop world record might be unbeatable. Hamster's Arcade Archive series is celebrating its 7th anniversary on Switch with over 400 games released on the console during that time. You see, Nintendo, this is how you do it. The company's Twitter account has relieved the range of retro titles, all based on iconic coin ops, has been recognized by the Guinness World Records. For 366 consecutive weeks, there has been an Arcade Archives release on Nintendo's eShop. The record was officially recognized back in 2019 when the total was 133. In 2020, there was a streak that might come to an end due to COVID-19, but thankfully kept going. So now here we are 7 years later, and as of March 3rd, they're up to 403 titles. That's 366 consecutive weeks. Do you think that'll ever? Do you think Nintendo could beat that?
They could, but they're not. They're not gonna try.
They could, but they won't.
It's frustrating because you know we can see that it is possible that you know there's a company out here doing the Lord's work.
Exactly. Like it does. See, Nintendo, it doesn't take. Hamster probably has like three people working there, like a three person.
And one of them's a hamster.
Yeah, and one of them's a hamster, and they're releasing a title every single week on Arcade Archives. Nintendo has all the money ever made. All they need to do is get a couple of guys and gals over there at Nintendo, just put them in a closet and be like, hey, just take all the old stuff and put it out. That's all you got to do. That's your job.
Watch them just start releasing the worst games ever available.
All we
like
get
this
is like
week, Little Home Alone 2 for the Game Boy.
Little Red Riding Hood. Bible Stories.
Like, like that wasn't even licensed.
Oh, man. That would be our luck, though, wouldn't it? If that, because that would probably happen. We'll probably get like all the Tengen games that were unlicensed, you know, like Super Sprint, Gauntlet, all those games.
Oh my God, that would be hilarious. Do you think Tengen will ever get like a Tengen collection type situation?
Probably not. Yeah, Joey says Cock-in for NES.
This is a children's show, sir.
You want to take this last story?
Essentially it's a big announcement of new Evercade cartridges, another company doing the Lord's work.
Yep.
Because you start reading through this and it's a whole bunch of new cartridges for the Evercade that's going to release on April 30th, the Pico Interactive Collection 4 and the Sunsoft Collection 2. Pico Interactive includes Zero Tolerance Underground, Street Racer, Risky Woods, but forget all that.
Glover's on there.
Glover. Yeah. Oh my God. But the Sunsoft collection is going to have Arrow the Acrobat 2, Blaster Master, who runs Barter Town, and Days Before Christmas. That's honestly, that's a great name.
Days Before Christmas wasn't released in the U.S. Because I got a ROM of that. I was looking for a Christmas game to review this year, and I downloaded it. But it was only released in the U.K., I believe.
Interesting. Well, it's they are all about their Christmas stuff in the UK, aren't they?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I would if I had never Evercade, I would probably pick up both of these because those are some pretty good titles. I really enjoyed the fact that Glover is being officially released somewhere is chef's kiss. I love to hear this.
It warms the cockles is what it does.
My cockles are sufficiently warm.
Joey, Days Gone is not going to be released on the Evercade collection.
Days Gone Before Christmas. We should make like a Days Gone Christmas movie.
We could. That would be awesome.
that was fun.
That was the news. We're not going to do any this month video game history tonight. We're gonna save some of these for the next couple of weeks, but I did want to let everybody know that our show is proudly sponsored by our mobile game partner Globe Glider. So if you like action adventure platformers, and we know you do, Globe Glider is for you. You make a donation to the game, because here's the thing, the game is absolutely free. No nickel and diming over here on the Globe Glider. But if you want to make a donation to the game using our partnership, it is quick and easy. You simply hit the donate button, select Nerd Cave Retro as your referral partner, and you will unlock sweet in-game prizes like an exclusive Nerd Cave Retro cape. So go download Globe Glider now on the App Store and Google Play. And right now, usually Derek reads our Patreon shoutouts, but now it's my turn. So I get to do it. I get to do the Patreon shoutouts now. How do you like that, Mr. Diamond? I know you're out there listening right now. So for this week, we want to give a shout out to all of our patrons, especially our newest patrons. We got two new patrons right now, Nick W. and Eld the Zombie. Let's give them a little hand for joining the Patreon. Also, Yup Fed, a.k.a. Knife. James, a.k.a. at Jimbo Jr. on Discord, Travis Martin, Raven, Danny House, Justin Nispel, John West, Daniel Salmon, Mike Evelyn, Mr. B-Rez Coffee himself, and also Mr. Evelyn's appendix as a new Patreon supporter, Mr. Tyler Watson, the fact checker to the fact checker, Axeblade 07, Armez Jackson, and Carlos Longoria, a.k.a. I am the Rampage, Staff Sergeant Sketch, Gus and Penny, Matthew Salmon, Joey Image, and of course, Mama Diamond herself, Donna Diamond. We thank you all for being patrons of the show, and if you would like to be a patron of the show, look, it's as little as $1 a month gets you early access to all the extra content that we do, and last month we did two commentary tracks. Last month we did the real Ghostbusters, and we did last week we did He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
He-Man,
why you marry me, He-Man? And it was an awesome episode, and I had a blast doing it. What about you, Wally?
Oh, I loved it, you boob.
And if you want to be a patron, head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. We got all kind of different tiers there. We got the $3 tier where if you can, if you want to help us pick what we do, I put a poll up couple weeks ago about what you guys wanted me to do. And if you're a patron and you want us to do a commentary track, and just tell us what you want us to do and we'll add it to the queue. And also join the Discord, you know, come on, hang out with us over there. We got a thriving community over here at the Nerd Cave Retro Show. But last but not least, all you new patrons, send us your social media info either on Twitter, Facebook, email, or on Patreon so we can give you a proper social media shout out.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And tonight, I will be talking about, if I can find it, here we go, right here. Side-scrolling beat-em-up video game developed by Software Creations, released by Fox Interactive, and distributed by Fox Video in 1994. The game was released on the Super Nintendo and the Sega Genesis systems, and was based on the comic book and Fox Kids animated series of the same name. And have you ever played this game, Wally? The Tick?
If I did, it was very briefly, because I do not recall ever. I remember seeing it, but I don't recall ever actually playing the thing.
Yeah. I played it a little bit over the years. I don't remember ever playing this when I was younger, even though I probably would have at the time, because I was a huge fan of the Tick. Still am. I mean, I still have the DVDs of the original cartoon. I have a bunch of comics from back in the 90s. Also, I have the 2000 live action TV show DVD with Patrick Warburton. Like, I love the Tick.
The thing with the Tick is it was one of my favorite cartoons.
Yeah.
And, you know, it had some of the best villains, like Chairface Chippendale.
And the cool thing about the comics, or not the the comics, but the cartoon, it had a running joke where Chairface Chippendale tried to sign his name on the moon with a laser. So from that point on in the series, every time they showed the moon, it had, you know, partial signature of Chairface Chippendale. So they had like they kept those running jokes going throughout the series.
Right. You know, and one thing, I remember being at school one day and just thinking about the show, because we were having a conversation about the show, and I thought for a second, wait, they're Flatermouse. Is that supposed to be a Batman joke?
Yeah. That's actually funny, because we used to, back in high school, me and my buddy Johnny, we used to sing the old Batman 66 song, but we would call it, we would say, da na 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 na, Flatermouse Meech, Flatermouse Meech, Flatermouse Meech, und Baird. Because Robin.
You used to do that at our former place of employment as well.
Because Robin in German is just bird. So he would be like, Flatermouse Meech und Baird.
Hilarious.
But as far as the game goes, I wasn't terribly impressed with it. Not that it's a terrible game. And some of my notes here, it's not a terribly difficult game, but it can be frustrating, because it's one of those games where it just sends endless waves of the same enemies after you. And after a while, it's like, it's not difficult. It's just,
annoying.
It's like, come on. Like, please just let me go forward. Because it's just the same enemies over and over again. Like, the first level of the game is called Night of a Million Zillion Ninjas. And I got like halfway through the level and I was like, they weren't freaking lying, man. It's just
so
endless, endless enemies. And I do wish there were more attacks. like grabbing and throwing instead of just punching and kicking. It's really all you got is punching and kicking. And you could do a flying kick, and you can call in, you have like for each level, I think you got four. You can, the thing I like about the game is when you first start it, you can adjust like how many lives you have, how many continues you're going to have, and you can call Arthur, and normally you get two, but you can adjust it up to four. So as you're going through the level, if you find yourself getting overwhelmed, you call Arthur. And he just comes swooping in and takes all the enemies off the screen with it.
I feel that is factually inaccurate to how Arthur would have felt.
Yeah. But
does he at least say, not in the face?
No, he doesn't. I mean, he's just, you'll be sitting there getting overwhelmed. You hit the button. He's like, Arthur, like that. And here comes Arthur. And he swipes everybody off the screen.
And an anteater just shows up and starts beating the crap out of everybody.
And the cool thing,
Wrong Arthur.
It does have a little bit of variety as far as the levels go, because you'll go through a level where it's just straightforward, kind of, you know, Streets of Rage style fighting. Go through and you end the level, and then the kind of in between the fighting levels, you'll have levels where you're building jumping to go to the next level. And it's platforming. So it goes from that kind of three-quarter view to sides, you know, side view. And you do platforming. And you're just dodging, like, throwing stars, spears. And you're doing little pirouettes as you're jumping from building to building. You know, do a little twinkle Damn. Toes and things like that. But if you get knocked off a building, you'll go down to the street. And you have to do what they call a subplot. Which you have to fight one of the millions of mini bosses that you know that are the Tick's enemies. So you'll have to fight someone down on the street before you can go back up to the rooftops to get through that section.
Okay, I kind of like that.
it's pretty fun, but it does sort of get aggravating after a while because I just want to get through it, and sometimes I'll just. It's one of those things where you kind of got to go through it and get the timing down, because it's one of those things where if you jump to the next building, you got to immediately duck because there's a throwing star coming from the opposite direction. So if you jump and you get hit by it, your knockback will knock you off the building. And it's like, kind of aggravating.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I would rather go to the very beginning of the level again than have to fall down and do that. Because it's kind of like, it reminds me of in modern gaming, going to the gulag in Call of Duty, where if you die, you get sent to this prison where you fight one-on-one with somebody else who's died in the match, and whoever wins gets to go back.
Yeah, I agree with Rampage. He said it perfectly in the chat room. He says, I just remember that the game wasn't super difficult, but the stages were way too long. That's my biggest complaint about this game is it's not hard at all. But, and let me ask you something, Wally. As I was playing this game, I was playing for about a good hour and 15 minutes, and I wasn't dying. I was just going through the game, and I was like, good Lord, how long is this game? So I looked up the world record speed run. The world record speed run for this game. You know, take a guess how long it takes to speed run this game.
25 minutes.
2 hours and 22 minutes to speed run this game. That's insane.
Well, I am beside myself. That's wild that you would take 2 hours.
I know.
To speed run a side-scrolling beat 'em up game,
dude. I completely went through and beat Final Fight. I think in like 37 minutes. my speed run record for Ninja Gaiden is 23 minutes. I finished Contra in a little over 30 minutes. This game takes 2 hours and 22 minutes for a world record speed run of the game.
Now here's where my question. Perhaps and run with me here.
All right.
Everyone who's ever tried to speed run it sucks.
It's not that it is a hard game. It's that it's one of those games where it's like any beat 'em up. You have your part where you move forward and then the screen will stop and then you just fight enemies until till it says, you know, go or whatever, and then you can move the screen again until it stops. This game, like, once the screen stops and you have to fight enemies, like I said, it's just you got to go through like 7, 8, 9, 10 waves of enemies to get back to where you're moving again. So it's they're not hard. They're just each enemy takes like 8 hits to bring down, but they don't do much damage to you. I mean, you're the freaking, you feel like the tick in the game. Like, you don't really die all that often. It's just endless waves of enemies that you have to go through.
I mean, do you at least say spoon over and over again while you're playing the game? Because I know I would.
On the Genesis version, I played both versions. I played the Super Nintendo and the Genesis version. And from what I could tell, it's flip-flopped where the Super Nintendo, when you defeat a level, he yells spoon. But on the Genesis version, when you start the level, he yells spoon.
Spoon!
Yeah.
That's magnificent. That's worth it right there. So yeah. 5 stars?
Yeah, 5 stars. The animation of the tick are really nice in this game. I thought they were really good. They've got, because like when you're punching, you know, like every fourth punch or so, he does like he'll extend his arm out and hit someone with like his like flick him with his finger, things like that. You know, whenever he's like, there are scenes in between the fighting scenes. There's one where, you know, where he's on a power line and he's like, you know, trying to balance on a power line, and there's like ninjas underneath you trying to knock you down. It's a little bit easier than the platforming parts where you're trying to dodge spears and stuff. But, you know, like on the platforming part, so every time he jumps from one platform to the other, he does like a little pirouette, or he'll like do the little twinkle toes thing like when he's in the air. Like, the animations of the game are nice. It's just there's not much as far as, you know, different enemy types. Like, right. Just for like the first 3 or 4 levels, it's all the same red, white, and blue ninjas over and over again. It's like, give me something else.
Patriotic ninjas.
Yeah, patriotic ninjas. And there was something, let me read here real quick. Because I was looking, it said something about, oh yeah, this game has 44 levels.
44 levels?
Yeah. 44 freaking levels.
Why?
This game could have been half that, and I would have been happy with it. And the difference is, I think the game is worth playing. It's a little expensive these right. days if you're going to buy it. I do think it is worth playing, but, and I found that on the Super Nintendo, the music and sound effects are better than the Sega version. And they're virtually identical in graphics. There's really no difference in the graphics. But the Genesis version is faster. I found that the tick himself moves faster in the Sega Genesis version. So I think if you're going to play this game, if you've never played it before and you want to try it out, I would say the Genesis version is probably the way to go.
Okay, that's a good thing, because the Genesis is a lot easier to find nowadays to play.
And, you know, it's still going to take you 2 hours to speed run it, but, you know, at least you feel a little faster on the Genesis version.
Are there any, like, save states or anything like that? Oh, my God. Imagine, like, playing the game after school. You get 30 minutes. So you have to keep the TV on and the Genesis on and hope that you don't have a power surge.
I'm wondering if the reason this game is so long is because they were trying to get around the rental market back in the day, and maybe they figured a longer game would make people like go rent it, not be able to beat it, but then go buy it instead of renting it. I
think that would bite them in the ass. Because you got to think, if you did rent that and the first level is 45 minutes of ninjas, I don't know if that speaks very well of the video game that you have rented.
True. And it, not that it's a bad game at all. It's, right. It's just too many of the same enemies. And I think if I was at the age that I, you know, was really into this, like at that time, you know, the early 90s where I was in high school and I had a lot of free time on the weekends to devote to Super Nintendo games and Nintendo games, I probably would have given this game a lot more leeway. And I probably would have, this would have probably been a favorite game of mine back then. But now, as you know, a 46, almost 47 year old gamer, I'm like, you got 30 minutes. Give me as much as I can do in 30 minutes. That's all you get.
I have a window that I have to make.
Yeah. Oh, and yeah, Rampage says it's that blast processing. Yeah, that's why the Genesis is better. It's got that blast processing, son.
You know what? The blast processing didn't really do anything.
Yeah, not really.
Have you read the Console Wars book? It said they were talking about Mode 7 being a huge selling point for the Super Nintendo. Mm-hmm. And they were like, well, what can we say is big in the Genesis? What about blast processing? What is that?
I don't know.
But it does it.
Sega does what Nintendo don't.
That blast processing.
You do get some cool power-ups in the game, though, where if you get a power-up in the middle of a level, another hero will come down and fight with you back-to-back. So
Deflator Mouse?
No, I never got to a part where I got to play Deflator Mouse. But just outrage. Like other heroes will come and fight with you back to back for that area of the level. And then once you get moving again, they go away. So I'm like, well, why can't I keep them the whole level? Like that.
Well,
sucks.
That's like Spider-Man 2. That's what the PlayStation game.
And, you know, I don't really. The only bad thing I have to say about this game is this is just way too freaking long. It's really.
Right.
It's really the only reason that I didn't like the game. Other than that, if I'd have played this as a teenager, I probably would have had way more, maybe nostalgia goggles for it.
Right.
But now,
as it is, you still have some because in that time frame we were bathed in tick.
Yeah.
Merchandise and cartoons and
it was everywhere back then. Like you couldn't escape it. The tick was the tick had a moment back in the 90s.
Right. He really did. It was a wonderful moment too.
Yeah.
And there was like every month there were these rumors going around. There's a movie being made about the tick, and you know, it's like, well, who's playing the tick? It's, you know, insert 90s heartthrob here. It was a good time to be a Tick fan.
The live action version, I mean, Patrick Warburton was born to play the part of the Tick. Like that series, even though it only lasted like half a season, is still some of the funniest television I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I agree. The only thing I didn't like about it was his mask, you know, that he didn't have one basically.
Yeah,
it was just a cowl with no mask.
Yeah.
And I get it. Patrick Warburton's a handsome man, but hello, I'm a handsome man. You know, just
so good.
It's wonderful.
And you know, they had to change up I don't know why they had to change Deflator Mouse to Batman
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
the mayor of Gotham.
Yeah. And what was in the cartoon she was American Maid, and then in the TV show she was the live action show. What was she changed to?
I don't remember. I think I know. I think that one was because they didn't want American Maid. Seems kind of, you know, that's kind of racist. And it just I don't know why they changed it.
They changed it to something like Captain Liberty or something like that. I can't remember exactly what it was.
It feels like a member of the boys.
Yeah.
It just felt off.
I just, man.
She felt competent.
Yeah, she was the only one that was normal out of the whole the whole series.
Right, exactly. And it just, she kind of didn't fit in the, I mean, I understand what they were trying to do. It was the juxtaposition of, you know, her all these bumbling superhero types, and she's the best, which can work. Problem was, they didn't have her in the mix enough for that to work well.
Well, the thing
it was always, she was always away from the Tick in the series.
They never really did a whole lot of action. A lot of the action was off screen. And their interactions were, you know, either in the Tick's apartment or in that deli, the cafe they were always hanging out in, which I don't mind that because it's kind of funny to hear them like, you know, be in the diner and they're like, you hear a cow, you know, this big bellowing cow and explosions going on outside and somebody runs in and they're like, it's Apocalypse Cow. And it's just, and then they cut to black and I'm like, that's funny. You know, that's some funny stuff.
It's like Seinfeld in tights.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. I loved the show. I loved the cartoon. I feel the cartoon was a better show, but at the same time, the live action one was better than the third live action one. I mean, the third series, that the second live action, the third series, but it also was good. So it's like, you know, I haven't seen any bad Tick media in the world. I want a Tick movie.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it, I really do. I would watch the hell movie, out of it.
And I would love to see a return.
John Cena, the Tick.
Dude, perfect.
Oh my
perfect,
God.
Actually.
And who would be Arthur? I used to say I would want Rick Moranis in the 90s to be Arthur. Let's see. Who is a Rick Moranis type?
I don't know.
Maybe Ryan Reynolds.
I think he'd make a pretty good Arthur, but I mean, he's already Deadpool, so.
Yeah, but still, you know.
Timothy Chalamet.
I actually thought of Timothy Chalamet. I'm like, he could do it. He has range.
I would love to play a new Tick game, though. If they put out a new Tick game, I would be very interested to play it.
An open world Tick game.
Dude, that's it. The city, where you're just traversing the city, and it could be an MMO. I mean, City of Heroes was pretty much the Tick city, you know, where there's just like hundreds of wannabe superheroes who aren't really superheroes, but then you got this one dude, the Tick, who actually is indestructible. Like, that makes for a good premise.
But if I'm playing a Tick game, I want to play as the Tick.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think you're right. It would make a great open world game, though.
Right. Well, I was thinking if you put it in the Spider-Man 2 engine, and then, you know, that way you can have Arthur with you.
Yeah.
The start screen would be just him monologuing on the side of a building until you start playing. Yeah. You know. Look at the city filled with evil. You know, just
the city full of people, my people, who want to suckle on the teat of justice.
Suckle people.
Oh, man. But as far as a number grade for this game, I mean, it's not perfect. It's just a good mid-range game. It's not bad. It's not good. It's right there in the middle. So it's going to get a 5 or a 6.
Ooh.
Probably
Michael Cera.
That's actually a good idea. Michael Cera as Arthur. Good idea, Rampage.
Thank you very much, Rampage. We've done it. We've done it.
We've done it. Let's give us money. Give us our movie check.
But yes, you said a 6?
Maybe 6.5? Maybe 5.5.
Oh, 5.5. Okay, you went down. Man, every time we go to something else, it becomes worse.
No, it's just going to be right there. It's not necessary. Well, yeah, okay. I'll give it a 6. I'll give it a 6 because it is a competent game. It's just, it's way too long. Way too long, too many enemies. Yeah. Other than that,
that's what I say about life in general.
Yeah.
Way too long and too many enemies.
Oh, man. Wally, thank you for joining me this week, taking over for Derek. I know today he had jury duty, so I hope he did well with that today and was able to get out of it.
Yes, they deserve to die, and I hope they burn it. I'm sorry. the first legal movie that popped in my head.
Oh, and I had this to play for the show, too, honey. I just wanted to play that before we got out of here tonight.
I wish I could hear it. I can't.
Oh, you couldn't hear it? Oh, it was him yelling spoon.
Spoon.
But thank you for hanging out with me tonight. Next week, we're going to have Mr. Joey Image is going to join me next week. And I think we're going to be talking about Commando for the NES.
Oh, yeah.
And also the arcade game Commando. They did an NES port of it as well. So I'll be playing that this week to prepare for next week. But Wally,
I'm going to be listening to that episode, Commando. Okay, continue.
thank you so much for joining me here tonight. You're one of my best friends in the world, so thank you for joining me. And tell everybody where to go so they can listen to your new podcast.
Just linktree.com/r2by. R the number 2, B and Y. The show is a Ghostbusters themed paranormal show. So we do talk about some Ghostbusters news occasionally, but the main meat is us talking about actual paranormal experiences that our guests and ourselves have experienced, as well as anything in the news that we see about paranormal experiences and such of that nature. And then at the end, we try to make an assessment. Do we think this is real, or could it be something else? And it's for people who don't believe in ghosts, of course, they're going to say, it's not a ghost. Of course it's not. You're an idiot. But I wish I had the luxury of thinking that ghosts weren't real. So please listen to our show. Ready to Believe You. Wherever and subscribe and do all those things, because we are gaining steam. We're getting a lot of good feedback. We have a lot of great guests on upcoming, including that special that we're going to do about that local folklore here in Mississippi. There was like 5 or 6 people who told us the same stories. And I was shocked at how many there were. So I'm excited about that. But thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. I can't wait to hear that episode. The people you got coming on talking about the local folklore stuff, because we got a lot of weird stuff that happens here, and I can't wait to hear that. But
I just have to talk to the property owners to see, hey, do you think it's a good idea for me to have a whole episode about this thing?
I'm sure they'll be fine with it.
I hope so.
Yeah, we'll see. But thank you all for joining us this week. Let me go ahead and play our music here as we walk out the door. Email us at nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. nerdcaveretro.com is our link tree. And you know what? That includes our socials. That includes our Discord and ways to give us money. If you don't want to be a patron and you want to just, got a couple of bucks burning a hole in your pocket and you're like, hey guys, here's for 400 hours of entertainment you've given me. Here's a 5 spot or a 20 spot. We got a Cash App and a PayPal button there at nerdcaveretro.com. NCR merch is our store where you can get hats, stickers, t-shirts, magnets, bags, mugs, and whatever your little nerdy heart desires. And if you can't do that, leave us a review and or a 5-star rating on all podcasting platforms. So Wally, please tell them what it's all about.
Spoon!
Spoon! Hey, Derek, have you heard the news?
What news?
We officially have our very own line of coffee at brezcoffeeco.com.
That's right. Nerd Cave Retro now has its very own medium roast coffee.
If you want to try it yourself, or even some of the other awesome flavors like Wizard's Potion, which is a butterscotch, caramel, and hazelnut flavored roast.
Or the Dragon's Breath Roast, which is a cinnamon dolce flavored roast.
They have tons of different flavors, and you can also just get a regular Colombian roast and add any flavor to it that you want. They even keep their seasonal roasts all year round.
If you need that boost to get you through those all-night gaming sessions, then head over to brezcoffeeco.com and use the promo code NCR for 10% off your order.
This podcast is a Zoo House LLC production.